a little bit differently. I'm going in a direction that has to do with the senses again, kind of in the seeing realm of things. And so I'm just trying to spark who we are in the image of God, right? And the title of today's message is Break the Mold, right? We want to break some molds. We want to break some tradition. We want to break some religion. Amen? So, for visitors that are here, for those of you in here, I don't normally wear flip-flops to church. You know, this was really, you guys have no idea how long it took me to really figure out, do I wear socks with flip-flops or do I not wear socks with flip-flops? I mean, it was really kind of like, you know, what do I do? And I don't wear shorts to church on Sunday. Now, I do wear jeans and things like that, usually a button-down shirt. Matter of fact, I have not worn a T-shirt to church on Sunday for several years. Because the last time I wore a the last time I wore a T-shirt to church, we lost a family. They up and left. Because they couldn't believe that somebody that was bringing the word was wearing a T-shirt and had facial hair. Since then, I've shaved my face, but it had nothing to do with that reason. But really, and it was an effect on me because I was thinking, oh my gosh, a family left because I wore a T-shirt. And then I realized the problem isn't mine. The problem is the one that they have because they are in a traditional mindset that has them bound up and in their own self-made prison. Because if you don't look a certain way or act a certain way or speak a certain way, then you definitely can't be a Christian in a mindset. And you definitely should not come to a Sunday service in that manner because you certainly shouldn't raise your hands and worship. Don't you dare jump and shout and don't smile. Matter of fact, the church is a no-smile zone altogether, right? Everybody needs to come in somber-faced, frowning on your knees. We know that's not true, right? Yeah, I like these flip-flops. I might wear them every Sunday now, except in the wintertime. In the wintertime, I might put socks on and wear socks and sandals. I don't know. Jesus wore sandals, right? Right? And really, the message isn't about wearing a T-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops to bring a message. But here's the deal. If you are having a problem receiving from somebody that maybe has tattoos, or you have problems receiving from somebody that's bringing a word because they're in shorts, flip-flops, and a T-shirt, and it's not at the beach, then you would have to question yourself, do you have a problem with religion? Do you have a spirit of religion on you? Or are you one that's walking in relationship with Jesus Christ? You see, I'm not here to downplay anybody that wears a suit. I like suits. I think putting on a nice sharp suit is really, really cool. And when you look good, you feel good. Amen? But when I'm comfortable, I feel good too. So I don't have an issue with somebody wearing a suit, slacks, nice shoes. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? I have no issue with that. And I don't have an issue with somebody that has an issue with me wearing a T-shirt and flip-flops to preach. My heart breaks for them that they have an issue though. Because again, they've blocked out the potential of something great that could take place or happen in their life. I want to break down some things. Definition of mold, all right? It's a hollow form or a matrix that gives a particular shape to something. So in other words, we all are created in God's image and likeness, right? But the mold that we're in isn't necessarily the shape, but it's the shape of our character and the shape of our attitude. And that's what needs to be broken. Because sometimes our attitudes really stink. Sometimes our character, because of life circumstances and how we've been raised, how we grew up, things we've gone through, we've created this mold of our character that really isn't that attractive. It's really more of a burden. It's really that plague of anger and distrust and heartache. It really messes up your life. I mean, we were just worshiping, talking about live. Jesus Christ came to give us not only life, but life more abundantly. We know this, right? But if we are holding on to strong religious ideas that take away from the truth of the Word and God, that's a bondage, and that prevents us from living the fullness in Christ. I'm going to tell you what, we just had an entire country shut down, right? I'm here to tell you, as an Army veteran, thinking that I'm serving for a country that's free, I've had to rethink freedom, because it's real easy to just shut stuff down. And all of a sudden, everything that you've worked for throughout the years is all of a sudden null and void and maybe never to come back again. I'm not trying to make people angry. I'm trying to get us to think right now on what's going on. So again, past few weeks, I've been saying the only thing that you can put your full trust in is the Word of God. And the only thing that you can find true freedom in is the Word of God. Live. Live. Says the Word of the Lord. Speak to the dry bones. See, we've had dry bones in our lives, man. We've been walking around like just skeletons with nothing to it. But God has breathed His life into us, and it's time that we can recognize these things. If we're going to make a difference in the world, we have to act like we're living. Amen. You know? And that doesn't mean by the certain freedoms that we can go and do living. I'm talking about that we actually look like we enjoy life without being chemically altered in our mind. Do you hear what I'm saying? But actually knowing how to live life free. Live life set free. There's no other word for it. F-R-E-E, free. And part of the mold that we have that's been formed in our life has to do with biases and stereotypes that we form. A bias is a prejudice in favor or against one thing or a person or a group compared with another, usually in a way considered to be unfair. But every one of us have a bias. Every one of us has a bias. Stereotype, a widely held but fixed and oversimplified image or idea of a particular type of person or thing. All of us stereotype individuals. We do. Yeah. If you see a tall guy, red, black, blue, blood, doesn't matter, color, right? If you see a tall guy, first question, did you play basketball? Am I wrong? Right? Stereotype. We just stereotype them, right? You see some burly dude? You see some burly dude, right? Hey, did you play football in high school? First question you ask him, you're going to start a conversation. Ooh, man, you're a big guy. I bet you played football. We just do that. And it's because there's certain norms, societal norms that you see. Well, yeah, a lot of tall people play basketball. A lot of big guys, they played football in high school. And the list goes on and on. We stereotype things. As a pastor, I'm stereotyped to dress a certain way. I thank God that Pastor Weldon has taken me around to other pastoral meetings, because if he didn't do it and introduce me, chances are I might not have even been received, because I don't look the part. I don't dress the part. And I'm not even sure if I act the part, because I'm not acting in a way. I want to move with how the Lord has me moving, but that means I'm listening to God and not man. Hebrews 13:6 says, if God is for us, what can man do to us? What can man do to us? And this is something that we have to take on in ourselves. We can't put, just like you should not put God in a box, don't put people in a box. Amen. Right? Because it's like, well, I'm going to go to that meeting because that person that's preaching, they are so anointed. I'm here to tell you, the person's not so anointed. The Spirit of God that's in them is so anointed. Yeah. And the Spirit of God that's in you is anointed. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you look like. If God is, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're anointed. We hear this, right? Again, don't put people in the box. I'll receive from him or her, but I'm not going to receive from him or her. I loved just opening it up and handing the mic off to people this morning. Just, what are you going to say? What are they going to say? I believe the Lord was speaking through each and every one of them. We have to allow the Spirit of God to move. Amen? We cannot put them in a box. We are part of an upside-down kingdom. You see, we're trying to make people look and act the way we want them to look and act in the world. But we forgot we're part of the kingdom of God. And it's an upside-down kingdom because the way it looks in the world is totally different than how it is in the kingdom of God. Totally different. The first shall be last in the kingdom of God. The master becomes a servant in the kingdom of God. The ordinary becomes extraordinary. The peasant becomes a king. The sinner becomes a priest. Oh, the wasteland becomes fertile. The empty become filled. The lack become plentiful. The doubter becomes a believer. The fool becomes wise. The lost become found. The dark becomes light. The weak become powerful. And the dead come to life. You see, in the world, you're dead, you're dead. There's no changing it. But in the kingdom of God, the dead come to life. Live. Live. Oh. Hear the word of the Lord. I'll even sing. No, I won't. For those of you visiting, everybody tells me quit singing. But my Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I believe he loves my voice. I believe he does. Ain't no party like a Christian party. Right? 1 Samuel. Let's talk about God. Let's bring some scripture. 1 Samuel 16:7. It says, but the Lord told Samuel, don't look at his appearance or how tall he is, because I have rejected him. God does not see as humans see. Humans look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart.
Amen.
Christian life is not about how someone looks. Christian life is about how someone acts.
Good.
Wisdom, godly wisdom, is putting into action what you know according to the Word of God. That's godly wisdom. And the power that we have gives us the ability to do that thing. God looks at the heart. But have you ever found yourself looking at the appearance of people instead? I don't know, man. They don't look. You guys have heard the story of that pastor who dressed like a transient, a homeless individual? You guys have heard that story, right? Sat outside the church, all these people came in, they ignored him. Then he finally walked in and they wanted him to sit somewhere separate, somewhere different. He was trying to come to the front and they're like, no, you can't come up to the front. He didn't look the part. He didn't look like he was in his Sunday best, but he was seeking the Lord, right? I mean, who are we to shut people out? Amen. We shouldn't, we can't. How's the world supposed to be saved if we shut people out? How are they supposed to know the word of the God, the word of Lord and his love if we shut people out? They can't. They can't. Because you're the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We are the ones that take it out, right? The mission field isn't in here on Sunday morning. The mission field's out there. Sunday morning, we're getting refueled, refired, revitalized. Amen? We're hoping that we stir a revival within ourselves so that we can take a revival out there and revive some others. We want to charge the light that's within us so that when we go out into a dark place, we can shine so much brighter. We want to break the dams open on Sunday morning so that we can start to flow rivers of living water flowing out of us. Amen, right? This is where we get that done. So we're going to charge and be brighter. We're going to break the dams and flow. We're going to be the light of Christ and move out. We're going to go into the mission field and we're going to make a difference. Whether you're wearing flip-flop shorts, t-shirts, or no short shirts, I don't know, but you know what I'm saying. Actually, I got scripture that's going to go there. I do. Talking to God, and he's laying this out to me, he says, Jesus did not come to hang out with kings. He came to make us kings. Jesus did not come to hang out with priests. He came to make us priests. Right? Bible says that we are now kings and priests a holy nation. That holy nation is the kingdom of God. And we move on to Matthew 12, verse 22 through 24. And it says, then some people brought Jesus a man possessed by a demon. The demon made the man blind and unable to talk. Jesus cured him so that he could talk and see. The crowds were all amazed and said, can this man be the son of David? When the Pharisees heard this, they said, this man can force demons out of people only with the help of Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. So you've got, follow me, you've got a religious sect of the Jewish people, the learned ones, the ones that supposedly have a relationship. You better hear what I'm saying. They supposedly have a relationship with God, but yet they couldn't see God right in front of them and declared what he did was the work of Satan himself, not of God. And of course, Jesus goes on to correct them. But why? Why did they say this? Because Jesus didn't look like them. Do you see, the Old Testament priests, they had a whole getup, man. They had the hat. They had the cloak. They had the breastplate with all the gems on there that represented the tribes of Israel. They looked the part. They were separate. They were different. And only they could go before God. Jesus came to break that mold. Jesus came to break that mold. Do you hear what I'm saying? He came so that we are now priests and kings. And he goes on to lay some more things out. He didn't look like them. Jesus didn't act like them either. He didn't act like them. He didn't teach like them. They're teaching the word, and he says, I'm here, I've come. And they didn't get it. They couldn't see it. How could this man, be our deliverer? How could he be the Messiah? He doesn't look like anything special. He didn't come from any place special. How could he do it? He didn't speak like them. Over time, what Jesus came to do away with, man has slowly put back into place. And I will take you now to the remembrance and the reminder of what many people in the church look like. Do you see? We're all supposed to be going to Jesus, but because of years and years of tradition, most Christians now go to a man. They'll say a woman can't be anointed. Don't go to a woman. They'll only go to a man, and the man that they go to is only going to be the pastor or the priest, because they don't realize that they're a priest. They don't realize that they have direct line with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They don't realize that they have a ministry, but you do, right? You realize that, right? You realize you have a ministry. You realize that you have the power of God that lives in you. You realize you're a king in the kingdom of God. You realize you're a priest. You realize that authority has been given back to you to rule and reign in dominion where you walk, where you tread. That God has given you authority through the Holy Ghost that lives in you to be able to stop and still the storms that come through. Not just one person, but a multitude. We are the body of Christ. We realize that, correct? Yes. If it's clear, say clear. Clear. All right. Crystal. Amen. You got good memory. Excellent. Your anointing and your power does not come from how you look. We have to teach ourselves to see. I've been talking to you about listening. We need to teach ourselves to see. We need to be able to see into an individual and not just the outward appearance. The Bible says, I've read out of Samuel, that God looks at the heart. Well, he gave us his spirit to be able to look at the heart of people and see the truth that's in them. You know, when I got saved, I immediately started to see the glory of God in people's eyes. I could see darkness in people's eyes, and I could see the light in people's eyes. It was an amazing thing, and I loved it. It was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. They need Jesus. And sure enough, the ones that had darkness in their eyes, they had no relationship with God whatsoever. But those that had a glimmer of sparkle, it didn't even matter what color their eyes were. They could be the darkest of eyes, but still have a twinkle to them. I mean, I could see it. And I know that's supernatural to be able to look into somebody and say, man, they got the light of Christ that lives in them. Amen. But you have that ability. You've got to be able to look, though. You have to see not just the outward, but look deep. It's about going deeper. We're in a time right now we need to listen more clearly than we ever have, and we need to see more clearly than we ever have. You know what I'm saying? This is the time that we need to be doing that. Matthew 13:54-58. And Jesus went to his hometown and taught people in the synagogue in a way that amazed them. People were asking, where did this man get this wisdom and power to do these miracles? Is it this carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers' names James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And aren't all his sisters here with us? Where then did this man get all of this? So they took offense at him. Couple verses, they're amazed at all the wisdom and power that he was working in. But then they started to look at him and go, wait, didn't he just come from, like, here? Isn't he just a carpenter's son? Isn't his mother Mary and father Joseph, and aren't these his brothers and sisters? What makes him so special? They put him into a stereotype. He's just a carpenter's son. They had biases in place already. They had him in a mold where he wasn't anything special. So they took offense, but Jesus said to them, the only place a prophet isn't honored is in his hometown and his own house. He didn't work many miracles there because of their lack of faith. How many of you know that God can use anyone? Okay, but I'm going to challenge you. If God can use anyone, have you ever found yourself saying, I don't want them to pray for me? That's good. That's good. Who said no? That's good. I'm going to find somebody to pray for you. No, I'm just kidding. Have you ever had a preconceived notion and judged whether or not you would be able to receive from an individual? Yeah? Yeah? But if we understand that God can use anyone, do you think that is it possible that we could actually stop a miracle or blessing in our lives because we don't allow somebody else to be used? God used a donkey to talk, right? But we want to put limits on people because this person, I think maybe they're anointed, but this one's not. But if they confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we all share in that. We're all in this together. I don't want to. Listen, I need a miracle in my eyes. I will not stop praying for that. Every time there's an altar call, pastor, somebody says, stand if you need a miracle, I'm standing. I don't care who's preaching. I don't care who's... I've had people kiss my eyeballs. Talk about COVID. I mean, I'm telling you. I've had people lay hands on me. People kiss my eyeballs. I've had all kinds of stuff. And guess what? I appreciate every single bit of it because I am still believing. But here's where the challenge is. If you're dealing with something, quit trying to deal with it on your own. Because the battle is his. And you trying to do it on your own is insanity. Because you've got an entire body of Christ that loves you and wants to be able to work with you and help you. I'm glad. This is a strong body. You guys are strong. You're strong believers. Strong family. And we're building strong families. One saved individual at a time. Amen? Amen. John 13, 4 through 5. So he got up from the table. This is Jesus. He got up from the table. He removed his outer clothes, took a towel, and tied it around his waist. Now hold on a minute. Last week, Pastor Weldon talked about David stripping down to his underwear and dancing before the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. Jesus comes from the lineage of King David, and he takes his clothes off and wraps a towel around him. Again, we got to break the mold of religious tradition and know that the anointing and power lives in every believer, and understand that when we put people in a box, we're blocking out what God truly could do for you and others in their lives. Release them. We're pretty open here when we allow people. If you feel like you want to open up a Bible study group in your home, yeah, let's do that, man. Let's open a Bible study group. But I've only been saved for 3 days. Well, as long as you're not having wild parties there, man, let's talk about this and see what you want to do. Why? Because we're challenging people to grow in the Lord. The best way to learn is to teach. The best way to learn is to teach. Stephanie, my wife, just yesterday said, I always feel like you're teaching me. And I said, well, it's because I'm trying to learn. You've already told me that. You feel like you're teaching me. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to learn, man. But allow somebody that maybe you don't think is a good teacher to teach you, because you could learn something. And maybe they'll learn something in return. Amen? So we go on. He tied the towel around his waist. And then he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel that he had tied around his waist. These disciples that Jesus was working with, they knew him. They lived with him. They saw the miracles that he did. All this beautiful, powerful things that Jesus Christ was taking, that was taking place, right? But Jesus broke them. He broke down their walls. He broke down their stereotypes and their biases, not with a mighty show of power, but with great humility and meekness. God himself got into his undergarments, put a towel around his waist, knelt down before an individual, and their filthy feet he washed. It wasn't based on how he looked. It was based on the action of his humility and his meekness and his willingness to serve that changes things. See, meekness is not weakness, but perfect power under control. And Jesus Christ is the perfect example of that very thing. We all have been molded by all the things that happen in life. Certain stereotypes, biases, preconceived notions. But it's time to break those molds. It's time to break out of where life's circumstances has put us and realize that God can use anyone. And in this day and age right now, guys, I'm telling you, you need to look out. Look ye out for who God is using. Because he's going to be using people that you never, I'm prophesying this right now, he'll be using people that you would never, ever have imagined. He's going to use people in ways that you've never seen before. He's going to take the timid, quiet individual and raise them up to be bold and boisterous. He is taking things and changing things in our lives, and now is an amazing time because it's going to be increased and elevated.
Amen.
See with God's eyes. It's a beautiful world that we have the privilege to partake in. And it is the best year ever.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? Stand to our feet. We'll close in prayer. I expect to see everybody in flip-flops and shorts next week. I'm just throwing that out there. Father, I am so grateful for the body of Christ. I am grateful, God, for your love. I am grateful for newness. I am grateful for a fresh start. I'm grateful for new beginnings, Lord. I'm grateful for taking us to the next level. I'm grateful, Father, that through your lessons of humility and meekness, we know how to be better. We know how to be better people. We know how to be better servants. We know how to live a more free and abundant life because of your examples. Father, thank you for your word. God, I thank you that we can call you Father, that we can come to you boldly because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray right now that if there's anyone listening, anyone here, that they don't know you, Father, I pray that they would free their lives up. They would free themselves up to come know you in a profound way, that they would just simply open their heart and say, Lord, come to me, free me, accept me, forgive me. Just declare that you will serve the Lord all the days of your life. He'll make you a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Father, I pray that you bless my brothers and sisters that are here, my church family, Lord, that you'll be with them all the days of their life. We just declare safety and long life on everyone here. Protect them. Protect the innocence of the children, Lord. And Father, we thank you that we're free from anger. We're free from corruption. We're free from doubt. Father, we bind lies and we loose the truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you.